Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel. Turn your mining hat light on and let's dig into the word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today we're going to look at the pain of change. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious and everlasting Father, we are so grateful for this day, grateful for the opportunity to be inside your scriptures one more time. God, we thank you that as we look at the scriptures today, you reveal to us, we know that you have a plan for each of us. There's a time for change and you have a purpose behind everything. So, Father God, as we explore the scriptures today, give us an understanding of your view of change. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, change is a necessary part of life. We know that. The irony is that we spend much of our time in prayer seeking a change from God. But every once in a while, it happens that God wishes change for us and that we don't particularly wish for ourselves. And that can be, it can be a pain when we are trying to navigate changes that are not necessarily of our desire. And God never violates our free will, but he does have ways to change circumstance, to encourage change, to speak to us directly. We're going to look at two different examples of these kinds of changes. And I'm not talking about, do I get my hair cut or not? I'm talking about when our life or our ministry or our focus or our purpose has had one direction, and then it seems to take a completely different direction. And sometimes that's a difficult change to navigate. We don't know how to go from one direction to another. We need a roadmap. We need help. We used to all use roadmaps. Now everybody has GPS, and it directs you how to do it. But even then, you have to listen to the voice, and sometimes you have to discern that. Anyway, we're going to look at two stories that I hope will give you a little insight and a little encouragement today. The world we live in is changing rapidly. How do we find our way through it? First, let's open our Bibles. I'm just changed my mind again. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18. And this is a passage that's very familiar, and I know that I've taught out of it in this series of teachings before, but I want us to look at one focus of it. 1 Kings chapter, I lied, and that's not a good way to start my program, chapter 17. What had happened before is that we remember the prophet there'd been an issue, and Elijah had said it's not going to rain, And then immediately the Lord whisked him away, and Elijah the Tishbite, the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here, get from hence, and turn toward and hide yourself by the brook of Cherith. Okay, hide yourself by the brook. And so he was there, and then the Lord said, it shall be, you'll drink of the brook that I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went to the brook. He kind of camped out there. He hid by the brook. He drank the waters of the brook, and the ravens came day and night. They fed him twice a day. He was living pretty good. That was the Lord's provision. The Lord had told him what to say and what to do, and then the Lord hid him. When we are obedient to God, he provides for us. And sometimes we use that provision as a validation that we are doing the right thing. And so when that provision dries up, many times it can confuse us. Well, maybe I didn't hear God. Maybe I'm not doing the right thing. But just because the provision changes doesn't mean that God will not still provide, and that God has ways of moving us from one place to another because he has other plans in mind. So he had done what he was supposed to do, and he had gone there. He drank of the brook. The ravens fed him morning and night, and that was proof to him he had done right because the provision was there. But then look at what happens. Verse 5 tells us that he drank of the brook. Book 6 said the ravens came morning and evening, and he drank of the brook. And verse 7 says, and it came to pass after a while, and literally meaning at the end of days, after a while. Well, how long's a while? We don't know. How long has your while been? You've been doing what God has wanted you to do. You've been following God's direction, God's command, and everything seemed wonderful. And then after a while, the while can be 3-4 weeks. It can be 6 months. It can be 5 years. We don't know what after a while is. It can be 20 years. We don't know. But after a while, what happened? The brook dried up. When the irony is, it dried up because there'd been no rain. And there'd been no rain because the prophet, the same one drinking out of the brook, said it won't rain. So here's the thing. When we know the will of God, and there are consequences, there is expectations from the will of God's voice spoken, we are not exempt from it. When things are set in motion and there are consequences, we are still part of humanity. We are still part of this world. There was a drought, all of the people were thirsty, including the very prophet who proclaimed that it wouldn't rain. When there was a famine, everybody was hungry, including the prophets who spoke it into existence. So just because we are aware of God's will doesn't mean us that we're exempt. But God had provided for him. He made a nice little place there. But there came a point where God wanted him to move on. He had an assignment in Zarephath. There was a widow there whose life he needed to touch, and also who needed to touch his life. Many times we think of it one directionally, but she needed to touch his life as well. And we know that if God had just said, okay, enough of this, get up and go, he would not have necessarily just gotten up and gone. There was a time that I knew it was time for me to leave a place. Actually, I look back, there are several occasions when I knew somewhere deep down that my time was expiring someplace. But I was comfortable there. I was happy there. Maybe even if I wasn't happy, it's the direction I had known. I would not have just voluntarily gotten up and left. It was funny, I was visiting with one of the young ladies who I've been associated with in ministry for years, and I was talking to her about her calling, that her calling is to place. She's somebody who just gets up and moves. She doesn't need a purpose. She doesn't, revealed right then. But most of us, attach our place to our purpose. And so, but God needed to move this prophet from that brook. So what happened? The brook dried up. And just because the brook dried up didn't mean that A, God's purpose had dried up, or B, God's provision had dried up. God was still going to provide for the prophet, but not in the location where he was. God had to encourage him to change. And by changing, but if he had just said, yea, verily, get up and go, now maybe he would have, but most of us would have said, but Lord, this is where you've made a little niche for me. This is my little corner, my little Rehoboth. You've made room for me. This is where I am, and I hide, and you get me food in the morning and food in the evening, and I can drink at the brook. It's a lovely little place. We would have had all of our reasons, but I'm thinking of some friends of mine who believed God led them to go someplace, and he very well may have, but you know, I certainly can't tell what their life is, but it seems to me, and we'll just assume for this moment that it is, that God wants them, that was good, you're there, now it's time to move. But they so are focused on, but God sent us here, that they don't understand that it's time to move. And God can send all kinds of things, and we bind it, it's the devil, that we miss that it's God who dried up the brook, because it was time to move the prophet on. And so sometimes the brooks of provision in our life that we know absolutely God has provided for us, those brooks of provision dry up. And we can interpret it one of many different ways. One is, oh, that I didn't hear God to begin with, that I'm in the wrong place. Or we can interpret it, well, this is the devil. God sent me here. I'm not moving, even if there is no brook. We can interpret it, you know, what have I done wrong? It was right before, but now it's not right anymore. Where did I mess up? Those are just the kinds of things that we often extrapolate from the meaning of the brook drying up. But he said, the brook dried up, there was no more rain, and the Lord said unto him, now this is verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, so sometimes the circumstances will become uncomfortable before the word of the Lord comes. Because if it just, the word of the Lord just came, we may not hear it as the word of the Lord. But we're already preparing. There's this wonderful quality in the human psyche. I don't know that I can explain it too well, but we all need the slight of bits of preparation. Our mind needs to prepare. The things that take us just really traumatically are the things where, like we'd say, the wind knocked out of us. They happen without any precursors. We can always tell, oh, someone's not been feeling good, or oh, someone's had a bad attitude. So we're not surprised when they move on or something like that. If someone, even before we receive bad news, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's one of the joys to me of hospice, is that time between the diagnosis and the death is a time for us we can be mentally and spiritually prepared, that we can be at peace with God, at peace with others, at peace with ourselves. My heart's going out. One of my coworkers, her son or stepson just went to a party, high school kid or just out of high school, went to a party and was shot and died. And the trauma of that, because there was no preparation. But if you have a diagnosis and, you know, you can utilize that time. The same thing happens when all of a sudden there's something that befalls us. But if we already had an inkling in our heart that something wasn't right, like you go into work one day and they fire you, and that could just be devastating. On the other hand, if you keep thinking to yourself, you know, this new boss, I don't like the way he looks at things. Or, you know, I've really not been happy here, or whatever. Then when it comes, you've had at least that split second of preparation. It didn't totally take you by surprise. In the hospital, you know, like in emergency rooms, when the chaplain comes in, just seeing the chaplain is that moment of preparation. Uh-oh, what are they going to tell me? if it were just the doctor, then it's going to be medical. But if it's going to be something more than that, then they'll send the chaplain in, which is not a good place for the chaplain. But anyway, but we do that with each other. We'll call somebody on the phone and we have some bad news. And so what do we say? Are you sitting down? Now, that in itself is an indication of preparation. So many times God uses natural things to prepare us for his word. The brook dried up. Maybe there are things in your life that the brook has dried up. Maybe a relationship, the brook has dried up. I was in the parking lot, parked next to a total stranger who just started going on and on and on about how she just left coffee with this friend 10 minutes ago that she should have had out of her life 10 years ago. She discovered some things. That brook of that friendship, that 10-year friendship, dried up. I think she was looking for a quick new friendship with me. But anyway, it dried up. There are things. A job can dry up. Resources can dry up. A circle of ministry of influence may dry up. But when it dries up, then we're going, okay, it's time for change. It's the pain. It's the price of change. What is the very next word? Verse 7 ends with, because the brook dried up because there had been no rain. Verse 8 starts with, and the word of the Lord came unto him again, saying, verse 9 says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, arise. The brook dried up. That had been God's provision, but God had already, it says, go to Zarephath, which belonged to the Zidon, dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a woman there to sustain thee. He had already spoken to the widow. He'd already made provision for him. But when the brook dried up, when one chapter ends, when one area of our life or our influence or our interest comes to an end, the next word is arise. And he'll direct you to the next place because he already has a plan in place there for you. Okay? So let's turn now. I told you we'd, you know, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses a thing is established. So we're going to look for it again, this same pattern. Remember, we look for patterns in the spiritual realm. In 1 Samuel 16, but there is a pain to it, wasn't there? There was a price. He was comfortable at the brook. Not only was he comfortable, but to him it was a validation that he'd done the right thing. To him it was proof that God was on his side. Not that we need proof, but as human beings, sometimes we do, don't we? So 1 Samuel chapter 16, remember that Samuel had been the one, the prophet, who anointed the first king of Israel, which was Saul. Samuel anointed Saul, and Saul took Samuel, and as often there was a good correlation between the king and the prophet. The king relied on the spiritual insight of the prophet, but Saul sometimes went left and right, but there's sort of that connection there. And so Samuel saw Saul as the king he had ordained, but we know that Saul began to mess up, and God had said so on several occasions, and it got worse and worse. But anyway, verse 35 of chapter 15 says, and Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. So he knew that he had done wrong. He knew that it was over. Verse 34, is where they split. Verse 33 says, that he talks about Samuel had hewn Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal because this was the buddy that Saul had made, the king that he'd made agreements with. So Saul had really been messing up. And then so at 30, verse 33 and 34, they split. They never saw each other again. So in one way, Samuel knew that Saul was no longer God's anointed. He was king in place, but he was not, he had no, God's favor for it. All right. And it says in verse 33 very plainly, 35 very plainly, Samuel came no more in to see Saul again till the day he died. But it says, nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he'd made Saul king over Israel. God really was unhappy. I mean, very seldom do we see God repent that he'd ever put anybody in a position, but this is one of those times. And even though Samuel knew it, it still grieved him. And there are many times that our heart, you know, goes on for somebody that we've invested ourselves into in whatever kind of relationship. Sometimes, unfortunately, it is a personal relationship that just, it's over. It's grieving, even though that has happened. Sometimes it's a pastoral relationship. Sometimes it's any number of things, good friendships. And even though you know that God has ended it, you still continue to grieve over it. And chapter 16, verse 1, this again, you will hear that pain. You see Samuel's pain over Saul. He mourned for him, even though he knew that God had rejected him and that he should no longer be king, yet he still grieved for him. Chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing as I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? God allowed him a time of mourning, a time of grieving, a time to come to terms with the loss of Saul. It was Samuel. Samuel could be saying to himself again these things. Did I fail as a prophet? Should I have been a stronger spiritual influence for him? Should I have been a better friend? Should I never have anointed him to begin with? Saul could have said, did I let the Lord down? Or if the Lord has rejected Saul, you know, and so he was grieving over it. And God gave him room for that. There is, again, the same way we have that time of preparation before a change, there is a time of coming to terms with, I'll say grieving, after a change. If you've ever had to have a radical move from one town to another, you may have to have that time to prepare, packing boxes. But when you get to the new place, you can be like, oh, I wish I were in my old place. I wish I miss my dry cleaner. I miss my coffee shop. I miss my church brethren. Oh, you know, that grieving afterwards, even the price of change is not just beforehand, but it's also afterwards. There's a grieving that goes on. But the grieving should be healing. If it doesn't end, there's no healing to it. Grief is not a punishment. Grief is a way of working through sadness, a way of working through change, so we can come to terms with it. There's that moment of we broke a dish in my house the other day. Now, it's a small thing, big deal. But I picked up the two pieces, looked at the two pieces, and I threw them in the trash. But the thing is, there was just that one. It was less than 15 seconds. But if I can say it like this, I grieved for that bowl for 15 seconds, and it's like, big deal, I've got more in this cupboard. But even then, it was after that change, it still took that one little bit of adjustment. And that's what God allowed Samuel over the ending of favor with Saul. But if I were still carrying on around the house and crying and saying, but I love that bowl, I've eaten so much cereal out of that bowl, there'd be something really wrong with me. And yet there are a lot of times while we have the opportunity for grief, while we have that opportunity to mourn and to accept and to come to terms with, we often not so much obviously over a bull, but over people or over a situation or a circumstance. Oh, you know, remember when the children of Israel came out of Egypt? God gave them time to adjust. They only would have had 40 days, but they spent 40 years in the wilderness. And they never really got over Egypt, did they? We think of it in a lot of terms, but we don't necessarily think of it in grief. Remember when they came to that point where they were eating manna and they said, oh, and they were hungry. They said, oh, remember how good the fish was and the onions and the garlic was? Well, that's baloney. They weren't eating fish. They were barely surviving. But we can so remember something in the past in such a way that we have endowed it with more, you know, oh, Saul was such a great king when he did X and Y and Z. You know, Samuel was holding on, and maybe he can be king again, you know, even though he knew God had rejected him. He'd broken with him, but he just couldn't get past that. And so God, you know, the brook drying up was a natural thing that got the prophet's attention. But this was the voice of God saying in his head, and there are times we have to talk to ourselves like, how long are you going to keep grieving for Saul, because after I've already rejected him? How long? Remember when God told Abraham that he was going to have a son? He'd already had Esau, but he was going to have a son, Isaac, by Sarah. And this is the day of promise. And bless little Abraham. Sorry, he goes, Ishmael. Oh, that Ishmael would walk before you. You just got a promise that you've got like this great promotion. You go, oh, but I loved working at that little pinky office. We can so, even though a great change is ahead of us, we can have such a hard time letting go of something that was lesser. And the voice of God came to the prophet here and he said, how long is this going to go on? And there's sometimes we just have to intervene in our own lives and say, Lorraine, shape up. How long are you going to keep being like this? And the voice of God can be in that voice. So he said, how long are you going to mourn for what I have already ended? And that, again, is that the pain of change. I've already ended it. Now, how long are you going to mourn for it? I gave you time to mourn for it, but how long is this going to go on? Now watch what he says. Here our pattern continues. How long are you going to continue to mourn for Saul, whom I have rejected, over Israel? And then he gives him instruction. Remember, he told the prophet, you know, arise. The brook dried up. His word was arise, wasn't it? Now here is Samuel grieving over Saul. And he asks him, how long is this going to go on? And then he gives him a word. He says, fill your horn with oil and go. Fill your horn with oil and go. I'll send you to Israel, to the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. So he told, these are both prophets, he told the prophet in Kings, arise, go to Zarephath. I've already spoken to a widow to sustain you. Here he's saying, fill your horn with oil and go. I have already provided a king. When there is that pain of change, when it's hard to leave the place we've been or doing the things we've done or holding on to relationships that have ended, it's easy to just stay there. But God not only says, get up and go, what else does he say? He says, I have already made a new provision on the other end. Remember the prophet in Elijah, he was giving him provision. He says, leave this place. There's no more provision here. I've already rearranged new provision for you. With Samuel, he was grieving because the king he'd ordained had fallen from grace. He said, get up, go. I've already arranged for another king to take his place. that Samuel would would anoint another king. So when something ends, when something dries up, when there's that pain of change, remember that before God brings us to that place of change, he has already made provision on the other side. And so he said, fill your horn and go. Arise and go. Arise. Fill your horn with oil. Go. For both of them. So we see there's almost an identical pattern here. Their circumstances are a little different, and so there's variations on it. So I had talked about the pain of change or the price of change. So we'll ask ourselves, what is that pain? What is that price? When it hurts for change, when change is scary, when change is a frightful thing, when it makes us sad or it makes us afraid, when it's not something we welcome, not when we're looking, whoo, let's get out of here, but it's even when it's something we want, it can still be scary. So number one is recognize. Recognize that it's time. Both of them were about time. The brook has dried up. Change occurs in time. The will of God does not, but change does. It's time for a new vision. It's time for a new location. Excuse me. It's time for a new direction. It's time. We have to recognize the time. That's number one. Number two, we have to have the courage, the commitment to arise, to go. I'm not a big one on little placards with sayings on them, but I have one up in my house, in my kitchen, that says that change of any sort requires courage. We have to recognize it, and we have to have the courage to arise. So what is the will of God when things seem to have changed around us, when we didn't want them to change? Elijah didn't want it to change. Samuel didn't want it to change. But sometimes change is what happens to us, not what we change, but what happens to us. We don't go empty, do we? We don't go empty. God told Samuel, fill your horn with oil, and oil being the symbol of the Spirit, which he poured out on the king to anoint him as king. So fill your horn. And the horns, besides being containers, were also what they used making noises. They were like a musical instrument, and they would announce things. You know, the various horn cries would announce to the people God's will. So the word of the Lord came, fill that with the Spirit. Fill it with oil and go, and go, go. Why? Because I'll remind you that God has already made provision. For Elijah, he made provision of the widow. For Samuel, he made provision of a new king in David. Wherever God is taking you to, whatever is ending in your life that may sadden you or may frighten you or make you doubt where you've been is where you should be, just remember that God has already made provision, and that we recognize that time, even when we've been prompted by other things. How long are we going to sit in the ashes? Time to get up and praise the Lord, to arise, fill our horn with oil, and go, because God has already made provision for you, for the new day, the new thing in your life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together. Give us that wisdom. Give us that understanding. Give us that courage. Allow us to recognize when time is up, and be grateful. And even if we mourn for a little bit, that we are ready to fill our horns with the Spirit, the oil of gladness, and go and anoint others, because provision, not just to eat and drink as in Elijah's, but purpose and ministry as with Samuel, that God, you are causing us to arise to go someplace where there's provision for new purpose, new calling, new outreach, new ministry, new opportunity. Let that be our answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a lovely week. It was wonderful to be with you. Hope to be with you again next week. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Mist, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Harkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Mist airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist, M-I-D-S-T, and like us, because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him